Well, welcome to the One Thing podcast, where we all get to practice dancing with the one thing that individuals, communities, and countries have yet to try.
Yeah, and in this episode, we are going to be talking about the anatomy of a separated mind. We'll talk about its structure and its impacts and what the one thing has to do with this.
Yeah, and in the beginning, you know, we decided in the beginning, not the beginning of this episode, but in the beginning of all of this on Earth, our framing, our perspective, and we're not alone in this perspective, this is a metaphysical perspective, is that we decided collectively, humanity decided collectively, that we could operate apart from the source of life. And again, that's whatever term you use for that. We've talked about that in virtually every episode so far. Source, God, spirit, higher self, the universe, the wisdom of nature, whatever it is for you. Our perspective again is that in the beginning we decided that we could operate apart from the source of life, and that was the beginning of the separation. Some people call this the fall.
Right. And so what this choice to operate separately has set up for us as human beings is a disconnection between our human mind. We're going to refer to that as the lower human ego, our heart, and our spirit, or our higher self, or our greater presence, or the great spirit, or source, whatever word you use. So in, you know, again, the lower human mind and the heart. So the lower human mind disconnected from source, and the heart, which I like to refer to, and I think David does too, as a portal to our higher self. You know, when we are in nature and we see something beautiful, it affects us at our heart level. It's not only intellectual. It's not only an intellectual experience. So the source of life. Oh, wait, let me just look at my notes here. Right. Okay. So in saying all of this, we're well aware that the real purpose of our heads is to serve spirit, and that some people think that they're coming from their heart when they might be partially coming from their heart, but it's not actually a full connection where their mind is serving their heart in connection with the source of life. There's a quote, I meant to look that up. It was an Einstein quote where it was basically saying, you know, a human being is designed for the heart to serve, to the head to serve the heart. And we've got it backwards. And so, you know, as a result, we suffer is the bottom line. So.
Yeah. And especially for those of you who are listening to this or watching this, who are thinking about the ways in which the heart can be hijacked, we want you to know we're quite aware that the heart can be hijacked, but we want to make sure you understand that what we're talking about is the high heart. We're talking about the real heart, the spiritual heart, not the ways that heart gets hijacked into entitlement and fragility, you know, emotional fragility and stuff like that. That's not what we're talking about in this episode.
Yeah, and it's probably wise for us to also put forth that inside of that high heart that David is talking about is a spark. You know, I refer to it as the divine spark of life, and that spark can never go out. So, and every single human being has it. And it might be easy to say, well, I don't really see a divine spark in that person or that person, you know, and it's true. I mean, we can bury or cover over that divine spark so it's virtually, you know, dark. But for most of us who are really good people who are trying to sort of grow that spark, you know, that's what we're about here. That's what the one thing is devoted to, is creating a greater capacity to access and then increase that divine spark. And that you have, and I have, and David, everybody has that, hands down, if you're breathing, that actually is the life force that allows us to breathe and be active in our days, and you may or may not have thought about it that way, but that's really what the teachings reveal.
Right. We can run from our divine heart, but we can't hide.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, we can try to throw cloaks over it, cloaks of suffering and density and pain and emotional turmoil, but it will still blaze through.
Or to paraphrase an old saying about emotions, that emotions are never buried dead, they're always buried alive. The high heart, if we try to bury it, is always buried alive. It can't be buried dead.
Good one. Yeah, I love that.
So only the lower human head thinks in duality, as Lori was alluding to earlier. Only the higher human heart operates in non-duality.
Yeah, and the reason we find this to be important and wanted to have this discussion is that as eons of time have passed, and so in all of recorded human history, we have mastered this division. We have mastered the duality between our head and our heart. And, you know, I'm not so sure that's the best thing to be proud of, being masterful at division, but for whatever reason, and we know it's because of this choice to operate in in this capacity of being separate from the source of life, it sets up this groundwork for division and duality. And it has been helpful for a period of time to understand contrast. And if we don't have the opposite, of one thing, we don't know how to understand the other part of it. But we're moving into a realm of human consciousness where duality is less needed and the non-duality is required for solutions to come forward so that we can up-level systems and create a more serving collective experience in human form.
Yeah. And so just to be really clear, especially for some of us men that may not fully get this, because many, many men and some women as well very much value their heads. And we're not trying to say the head is a bad thing. What we're trying to point out is that our heads are meant to be in service to our high hearts. And when there's connection between our divine heart and our head, then our head is an asset. It's not a liability. So I just want to make sure that there's no one listening or watching that is wondering whether we're saying, oh, disregard your head. No, no, not at all.
Right. Oh, there was something I was going to say on that, and it just jumped out of my mind. Yeah, especially in a Western world, we have very developed intellects and thinking capacities and analytical capacities. And, you know, just like what David was saying, there's nothing wrong with that. But this is the thing. Oh, I'm so glad it came back. One of my favorite things to reveal to people that I work with is that if our head knew how to heal us, if our head had the solutions to our problems, individually, community-wise, and then in the broader scope of our collective, if our head had those answers, and if he or she knew how to do it, we would have done it by now. The problem is that it's so limited, that bandwidth of understanding and possibilities and creating new realities. It doesn't exist in the head alone, but it does exist with this well-developed intellect that we have been developing over, since the fall. It exists within that, and then when we include our heart, game over. That's how I like to see it. Yeah.
You know, when you may have also heard the cliche about our best thinking has gotten us into this mess, right? Mm-hmm. And what that really, to Lori and me, I think I can speak for both of us on this, means is that our best thinking in a separated state, our best thinking when our thinking is separated from our high heart, that's what gets us into the mess that we're in.
Right. And then we need things like projection to help us see what we're doing. So David, do you want to talk about that?
Yes, I do. So when we're disconnected from our high heart, or when we're connected with our high heart, but we don't have that connection between our heart and our head. This is to us what sets up the dynamic of fear. This is how fear gets generated, is through that disconnection. And when we're disconnected and in fear, and we are disowning our fear, that leads to projection. In order to keep our fear disowned, what we have to do is see out in the world, out in other people, out in external situations, or sometimes we attack our body, our physical body as well. We project outward this disconnection, and we see war and suffering and horrible stuff out there. Don't get me wrong, there's stuff that goes on out in the world that I'm not at all happy with. But the over-focus on that as a hiding strategy from attending to the disconnection inside me, that's a huge problem, a huge problem. And a lot of do-gooders, me, and I mean that in a positive sense, a lot of people who are authentically dedicated to doing good out in the world have forgotten this. And so those particular people doing good out in the world, they're projecting outward in such a way that they believe they can't be okay. They can't be at peace. They can't feel joy and love and heart connection until something out there changes first. And that is the ego's version, the ego's anatomy of suffering. That's the ego's version of staying trapped in being a victim.
Yeah. And, we'll never see external happenings in the world up level for better, for in better ways until we do that inner work of bringing our own divisions to rest, right? Bringing our dualities to non-duality through our heart. And, this is what David was saying, that people miss this point, even really, really good-hearted people. And sometimes I've said in the past that we could start a dozen nonprofits, all for like the best reasons and the most, what's that word that
Noble
starts?
causes.
Noble. Yeah, exactly. Noble causes. But if we're ignoring this piece, it will be limited in its effect. And as an individual, the way we can feel our own divisions is that when we're separated from source, we feel abandoned. We feel, David already mentioned fear. We might feel like we're not enough. I mean, can you imagine if we're operating as a small little segment of this grander anatomy of who we really are? Of course, we're going to feel abandoned if we're separate from it. And of course, we're going to feel like not enough if we're this compared to like, this. We're definitely going to feel like not enough. And that's where competition and comparisonitis and feeling unlovable and unworthy and undeserving of the good and the wholeness and, the abundance and the expression and the love that we're actually coded for. Like those things, having health and expression and abundance of love and love, are coded in our cells. It's our birthright. And we won't find our way to those things in our divided self. We have to
Yes.
bridge that gap.
And taking that now even a step beyond that, when we are divided, when we're separated inside ourselves, when there's a separation between who I think I am and my connection with higher love, higher wisdom, et cetera, we're at war internally. That's the war that ends up raging inside us. And when so many of us are at war inside ourselves, why should we be surprised that wars are going on outside ourselves? As within, so without.
Do the math. In internal war times 7 billion needing to be projected will look like war. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think you want to talk next about the myth, huh?
Do I? Okay. Oh, yeah. Right. Thank you for prompting me. So
No worries.
there, one of the things a human mind will do is attempt to fix this problem at levels in which the problem cannot be fixed. So we'll say things to ourselves like, well, we need better policies and we need better politicians, and maybe we even need a new party, or maybe we need, what were the other ways I was thinking about that? Yeah, maybe we just need to learn tolerance, for all the isms that we have. And not that those things are bad, they're not. It's just that we're trying to sort of convey that the level of the healing or the level of the reconnection that we need doesn't exist by getting better politicians or by having better tolerance. We've already tried all those things. We've tried it since the beginning of time. And again, if those things would have worked, if those things were capable of working, they would have worked by now.
Yeah. And what you're pointing out, which I think is so important, is that the issue here is a sequencing issue. We've got things reversed.
Yeah.
We think that the outer situation changing is going to change us inside. And
Right.
that's the exact opposite of the sequencing that actually works from a spiritual perspective. It's my inner peace that then equips me and empowers me to express outwardly, extend outwardly that peace and well-being out into the world, out into how we work to elevate politics and repair divisiveness in society and heal all of the isms, insanity and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's just no getting around the inner work being the starting place, not necessarily the ending place.
Yes, that's such a good point. And oh, there's something I was going to say about that too. It's well, go on and I'll see if I remember it.
Laurie and I are halfway through a 15-day cleanse,
Yeah,
and
we didn't
so.
even tell you that, right?
We're a little loopy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the what we also want to convey about outer divisiveness is that we view its purpose as that of attempting to get our attention to finally deal with our inner division.
Right.
So instead of ignoring, we're not advocating sticking our heads in the sand and pretending that outer problems don't exist, or pretending that they don't need to be repaired. What we're saying instead is that the outer things that are upsetting to us are calling us first to do inner repair so that we're equipped to be more effective with outer repair from there. So
Exactly.
outer division's purpose is to get our attention to finally deal with our inner division so we can at last reunite our head and our heart inwardly in order to become capable of co-creating heaven on earth outwardly, which is, as you've heard in prior episodes, that's what Lori and I are all about. I mean, this is the, for us, the ultimate healing for humans, both individually and for humanity as a whole.
It's true, and that beautifully put. And that this takes what we're proposing here, we realize is a courageous and revolutionary choice. And for anybody who feels like they want to be part of impacting the world in a good way, this is the choice. This is the best choice. And so the suggestion is, you mentioned it, David, where if things are unpeaceful, not peaceful, anxious and stressful on the outside, it is courage and a revolutionary act for you to just say, I don't mean just in such a flippant way, but for you to say, I am going to do this and I'm going to do it as long as I need to do it so that I have a peaceful center cultivated. So from that place, from that foundational strength in full connection with life herself, who has all the answers we need, I will offer my contributions. I will do my work from that place. I will speak from that place. I will write or do all the things that you do going about your day. And if we leave that out, we just keep churning the same old tired and not working energy.
Yes. And to tie this in with something we've said at least once in prior episodes, maybe more than once, just as the timeless saying of as above, so below mm-hmm. is true, the same thing is true with the saying as within, so without.
Yes.
And that is that set of phrases is really the formula, you know, as above, so below, as we are in a non-separated state, that is what we are called to manifest in this world. If we're in a separated state, we'll manifest separation inside ourselves. As above, so below, as within, so without, as we come back into a state of connection, we bring that connectedness out into how we do problem solving out in the world.
It's true. And you might be thinking something like, well, that's all fine and good, but what do I do in the moment when my mind is being in a highly self-critical or self-judgmental state? And that's the best question, actually, because that is exactly the moment when you, if you're present enough and you could notice that you're being highly critical of yourself, let's say, for pick a subject. I mean, this is actually the way a lower human egoic mind keeps us trapped and snared and shackled to not finding our way to connection, right? So anyway, the choice point in the moment when you notice self-criticism is to ask and to connect to your higher self, to your higher presence, to be shown what's true. Because if we think about it, if we just do like a reverse engineering thing, and I think we did this either last time or the time before, if it's true that we are the source, we are an extension of the source of life, and the source of life is already whole, and there's no question of its value or worth or that it's enough or, you know, like that, and we are that extension, then by that extension, we too are that. So when we have self-critical thoughts or self-judgmental thoughts, that's error thinking, right? That's false belief thinking that is from some patterning, and we don't even have to track it all the way back. We just have to give it up. And we do the same thing. It starts in ourselves, and then we project and criticize and judge externally as well. This is what sets up division in the larger collective.
Yes. And we're getting close to our punchline and takeaway. I think there are just a couple of things we want to reiterate or illuminate first. One is that when more people than not are reconnected inwardly, the level at which these issues outwardly are so disproportionately problematic in society, the level at which that's happening will dissolve at the root cause level. Because again, about that principle of projection, as within, so without, when we're reconnected, the more of us who are reconnected inwardly, the more we will see problems in society dissolve because we're dealing finally with root cause. There are so many good-hearted people trying to fix our problems outwardly before, like we said earlier, before they have fixed their root causes inwardly, and that's just simply backwards. It's reverse ordering. Both are important. We got to get the sequence in the right order.
Exactly. And it's sometimes overwhelming for a mind to think, oh my God, I have so many issues and so many things to fix. But there's one inner cause, and it's what we've been talking about. And it's the one thing that we're inviting you, because this is our choice, which is to, we're committed and we're aiming for progress, not perfection, but we're committed to honoring this connection every moment of every day, so that our words and our actions are coming from the connected place more often than not. And we would love for you to join us. If that was our sole focus, each of us who are committed, rapid change would be noticed.
Yes. So the one inner cause to fix is disconnection from the one thing.
Right. From the source of life, which is the one thing we haven't tried yet. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And the other thing to know about this is that, you know, a lot of people worry about, well, you know, that is that really going to do the job? You know, there's so many people who do bad things. But here's what we know. And science knows this too, that when we're connected to the source of life, we make high-minded choices. We make choices that are in reverence to ourselves and all of life. We're more kind than not, right? So it's the disconnection that causes untoward choices against self and others.
Yes.
So.
And that's, go ahead, honey.
No, you go.
Oh, hey, you know, the more of us who do what Lori and I are talking about with you today, the more impactful to the world as a collective we can be. And that's why we're inviting you so passionately to join us in making this shift.
Yes.
Agreed. Is there anything else you want to add before I do a teaser about the next episode?
I guess I would just say, if you have any questions or thoughts about this, be sure to jump onto our Facebook page, because we know that these topics, I mean, we're taking a sliver of time to talk about big topics. And so whatever it is that comes up for you, what pops for you, you know, we would love to know. So, you know, jump over to our Facebook group, and it's what is it, honey? It's
the Facebook page. Yeah. Is The One Thing Podcast.
The One Thing Podcast. Okay, good. So facebook.com/The One Thing Podcast. Is there a dash in there?
I don't know. No, okay. There's no dash.
Okay, good. I think that's all I had
awesome.
To say. Here.
So that leads us to a little teaser about what we're going to do in the next episode that builds on top of all of what we've discussed so far in this episode and in the prior episodes, which is we're going to be going into what we call the impulse of life and what it means to make decisions that move us forward rather than backward.
Nice. So until next time, remember to dance with your better half.